It is the perfect time to be talking to Cree Bradley, our local CSA farmer and sugar syruping business extraordinaire, winner, I would say, of at least one syruping contest with Never Summer Sugar. Is that the name, Cree? I want to make sure to get it right.
Never Summer Sugar Bush.
Never Summer Sugar Bush. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I know you have plenty to do, so I'm sure listeners appreciate your time as well as me. First of all, let's talk a little bit about your syruping operation. It is quite an operation, and you've been doing it for a number of years now. Tell us about it.
Well, we started in 2008 as kind of mentors under Phil Cook, who tapped about 2,500 trees off the Drummond Grade.
Yep.
And so we mentored with him until he passed away in 2013. And then we took over that sap collection on those 2,500 trees. And we do the processing at our farm off of Highway 3, Chelsea Morning Farm. But we still collect the sap off of the Drummond Grade and haul it over to our farm. So tapping 2,500 trees still. And it's just an enterprise that we love. We're really passionate about it. It's probably, I hate to say it's our favorite enterprise because we like everything that we do and find joy and value in all of the different farm work we do, but there's something really special about making maple syrup. So
I think you guys just love this time of year. I mean, whenever I see you out there tromping around, you just seem so happy. I think that's maybe part of it. Although I guess you're not tromping on snowshoes this year. Oh my goodness.
We aren't. And Katya, you came out into the woods last year. You and your husband, Mark, and your niece, Amber, came out to the woods and helped us. And when you think about the difference between 2023 and 2024, it is really interesting. We had the most snow ever in 2023, and we have the least snow we've ever had in 2024. We had the most shoveling, the most repairs. The latest start date in 2023. This year we have zero shoveling, very few repairs, and the earliest start date. So it's really remarkable seeing like that complete reversal of situation.
Yeah. Well, I guess in some ways that has made it very easy this year. I mean, snow and that all creates work. And so were you able to get started early this year because of that, or was it just the warmth that meant your early start?
I think the main thing that allowed us to get started early this year was the lack of shoveling and the lack of repairs. Last year we spent, you know, weeks and weeks shoveling out lines out of deep snow, and then we'd get more snow on top of that and reshoveling. There was just so much snow load that we had to get through. But also last year we had a number of like really heavy storms and a couple blizzards early in the season that when you get those heavy storms and that dense, wet snow, it can do a lot of damage to the lines and break lines apart, and trees come down and take out lines. And when I say lines, we have most of our sap collection system is on a tubing system where it is all gravity fed downhill on these tubing lines. And so we have a number of trees that are on bag collection that we can't get the gravity on, but the bulk of our operation is on this tubing line structure. So when you have high winds and blizzards and storms and those trees come down, they take out those lines. And we just had an excessive amount of repairs last year. When we got back from Colorado at the end of January this year and the weather was so warm and we thought we got to get out there and get busy, that first walk into the woods, we were just like there was one line that was broke apart, and that was really it.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, it was such a reversal of, you know, of fortune. So we're really grateful for that because it was an early season, that early season on start, and we just needed to do that kind of that minimum work to get ready and not take on big new projects or big changes this year and just try to get ready for that sap run, which we were hoping would kind of hold off and winter would return. But we ended up tapping right at the end of February, which is the earliest we've ever tapped. And that was just because it just wasn't, we weren't seeing that writing on the wall that winter was returning, and it was time to go. So
yeah,
we did tap at the end of February.
And was that the right time to tap?
It was perfect timing. I mean, it's possible that we might have missed an even earlier run than that. I'm not really sure. It's so hard to say if you missed one or not. And we've been trying to hear some of the other sugar makers' results. And from what we've heard, other people held off as well. So, you know, it's possible we missed something, but I feel like we're glad we held off tapping until the end of February just to keep those tap holes a little bit fresher later in the season. Hopefully they'll stay running then longer if they're fresher tap holes with this kind of flirting around freezing temps here. You know, they're going to start trying to close up, you know, as those trees wake up. And so we didn't want to tap too early. But as we tapped at the end of February, we were seeing that little bit of dripping of sap. And then we did get our first sap run basically right at the end of February, and we had our first boil on March 3rd.
And
so
how
really great timing.
Yeah. And then I know you have, you know, with a pretty extensive operation, you're, I forget what the number is, something like 300 gallons is what you're aiming for. I mean, do you think this year is, I know you've had several really, really rough years in the recent past as far as how much you can syrup you're making. How is this year shaping up that way?
Well, we've had seven boils so far, and we've made 125 gallons of syrup. We've collected just over 5,000 gallons of sap, and right now everything is locked up with this little bit of colder weather that we're having.
Yeah,
and we're happy for that, because sometimes those trees, they just, you know, it seems like they're still ready to run, and so locking them up, it just kind of resets them, and then once we hit those thawing temperatures again, we're hoping that they have another good run. So we kind of feel like we ended the first chapter of the sap run with those seven boils and this first 125 gallons of syrup made. And now we're hoping that the trees kind of take a break and reset and that we enter into a second chapter. And honestly, we don't have any historical records that replicate this winter. So we have about 30 years of records between Phil and ourselves, and we have nothing that replicates these conditions. And so it's been really hard for us to even guess at what the outcome of this year is going to be. I think early on, it felt a little disastrous just to be warm throughout winter and thawing land and no snow. But, you know, I think we probably will run again. And, you know, last year was a really difficult year. We only made 107 gallons, and we typically want to make kind of on average about 300 gallons. More is great, but 300 feels like a decent good year for us, and we really kind of need to reach that mark to feel like financially things are working with this enterprise. And so last year, only making 107 gallons, it was a tough year. And it's funny how your perspectives change. I think when you have a tough year, you know, on one hand, you could look at it like the glass half empty and say, well, we're only at 125. We're not sitting that much better. But for some reason, when we got to 125 this year, we felt great. We were like, okay, we beat last year, and it feels like the trees are still healthy and ready to run. And so I think we're going to keep making syrup. And the question is just going to be, how fast and quickly does it warm up this spring? You know, will it keep running for another couple weeks, another few weeks, or is it going to warm up too fast and be over? And that's what we can't really answer with this interesting winter and spring weather.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, that whole first chapter was like a precursor to the normal time to syrup, because, I mean, normally you'd just kind of be starting right now, right? Or I guess maybe there isn't a normal anymore, but many years, this would be more the starting time.
You're absolutely right. Normally, this is when we start tapping at our place, because normally we're locked up into April, and we always tap kind of the latest that we possibly can. So normally we're tapping around March 20th, give or take. And so, yeah, you're totally right. That first chapter was kind of a precursor to our actual season. So we're hoping to get more syrup made as we go along. And I guess we're feeling positive, but it's a little bit of that, like, you know, you can't predict the ecology and the conditions and nature. And it's such a complex enterprise in terms of how those ecological processes work that affect the sap run and those trees and that sugar molecule. And so it's a really difficult one to predict.
Yeah. Cree, can you describe for people who are just trying to get a picture of this, like, how many people are involved in your operation? What do you do during the day when this is going full bore? you know, just give us a little bit of a picture of your day.
Sure. Well, there is definitely three of us in the operation, Jason, my husband, myself, Cree, and my father, Joe Holtz. And we're really active with the enterprise. And then we often get some help with tapping. A good friend of ours, John Bondi, comes down from Ely and spends, you know, 3 or 4 days with us tapping. And every so often we get a little bit other help, like helping to dump those sap bags. We'll bring you and Mark out to help dig out lines and do some work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's the three of us. And the day starts off pretty early. We get out into the woods. We're turning on the system as soon as it's warm enough. You can't turn on the vacuum system that we use until it's above freezing temperatures. But as soon as it gets up above freezing temperatures, we turn on that vacuum system. And what that does is we run like a medium vacuum, not a real high vacuum, but it helps to, there's a lot of tension in the sap coming down these, you know, long, long lines. We tap about a total of 120 acres of maples that are spread out across that distance. And so there's like that tension and density in those lines, and the vacuum just kind of helps keep that sap flowing through those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're checking for leaks or repairs. Every so often, like a squirrel or a bear will wake up or something and will bite the line, or a tree will come down and take out a line. So we're checking for repairs. And then we're hauling sap home. So if it's a really heavy run, sometimes there's one trip home with a truckload of sap, and sometimes there's three trips home with sap. It just kind of depends on what that day is like and how much we're sitting on sap at home to get processed. Someone is at home here usually boiling the sap, so we do wood fire in our evaporator to boil the sap. It can take a long time to get through, you know, a tank or two tanks or three tanks of sap. So those boils usually run pretty long days and late into the night. On a year like this where there's not a lot of snow, we're really conservative with the temperatures and the dryness of the land, and we don't want to spark a fire. So a lot of times on the warm days, we'll wait until the evening time to boil, just when you get that cooler temperature and some of that moisture settling back to the land. And we always have water on hand for fire suppression should anything like that happen. That was something our mentor taught us really well. And so this year, the sap runs that we have had with the seven boils, we've definitely had the collection of sap, but they haven't been, you know, these huge gangbuster runs. And so we've actually gotten some sleep this year, you know, where we might be out there till midnight or 1 o'clock boiling. A lot of years when you do have those big, big runs, you might be boiling until 2, 3, sometimes even later into the morning. And when it's a kind of around the clock, like a good series of runs, you kind of keep up that schedule for a number of days and then usually wipe out with exhaustion and then refuel yourself and start over again.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. There's nothing like being out at 2 in the morning and that starlight and something about the feel of the air in the springtime. There's nothing like it. It's really, really beautiful.
Yes. And the nights there have been many very clear nights. I've got to believe out in the woods, the stars have been just, phenomenal. One final question, Creed. Have you tasted your syrup this year? How is it tasting?
It tastes wonderful. It has the classic. There's something really, I mean, I hate to say this, and I don't say this like in a boastful way, but there's something really special about the syrup that comes off of these trees, off of the Superior Highland area, Drummond grade. There's a richness, a butteriness to it that is just really delicious. And we have won a number of awards for our maple syrup. It's actually been a few first place awards and a second place internationally, between like the Canadian provinces and all the different states. Vermont, we won second place with that contest, and so we can taste that flavor in the syrup this year. It tastes really good.
Yay. I'm speaking with Cree Bradley. She is co-owner with Jason of Never Summer Sugar Bush Syrup, which is available locally. And thank you, Cree. We're out of time, but it has been a pleasure to hear about this. I feel like I'm out in the woods with you. Thanks so much, and have a good time out there.
Thanks for the interview, Katya.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, that was Cree Bradley.